Hi, welcome to USA Fencing Coaching Education Podcast. I'm Sam Callen, your host. While the podcast is geared to coaches, I think many folks will find the topics of interest. Guests on the podcast will be fencers, coaches, club owners, and also for people from outside the fencing world who can contribute to improving coaching. If you have suggestions for a podcast topic or guest, please email me at s.callen@usafencing.org. That's s.callen@usafencing.org. Thanks, and enjoy the day's episode. Welcome to this special USA Fencing podcast. I'm Sam Cowan. I'm the Coaching Education Senior Manager here at USA Fencing. And joining me on this call was Jill Feldman and Michael Green. And this call was recorded in September of 2018. And on the call, I'm talking to them about their experience at the FIE Budapest Fencing Academy. And did this to give folks who might apply for this academy in the future a little insight into what it's like. Should make note that when we recorded this, we had not had news that the new FIE Academy format was going to be different going forward, at least for 2019. Each weapon will have its own academy, whereas when Michael and Jill went, all weapons were at one academy. So keep that in mind as you're going through and listening to it, that it's going to be a little bit different going forward, at least for 2019. So I hope you enjoy the interview with Jill and with Michael, and hopefully it helps you make a decision if you want to attend this outstanding event in Budapest. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this USA Fencing podcast. I'm really excited to have Jill Feldman and Michael Green on to talk about their experience at the FIE Budapest Fencing Academy. Jill went just recently at the earlier part of this year, and Michael went, I think, back in 2016 or 17. No, 17. And I'll let them fill in the gaps on that one if I'm in error. So thank you both for joining me.
It's great to be here.
Thanks.
Great. Hey, how about start off with a little bit of just introduction and your background, just both personally as well as fencing professionally. And Jill, why don't you get us started?
I started as a recreational fencer as an adult and really fell in love with the sport. And so I've been teaching for about 20 years. I was a competitor for a while and in women's saber. And right now I teach all three weapons, mostly beginners and intermediates, after school programs, and I'm working at a saber-only club at the moment.
Excellent. Thanks. Michael, what about you?
I started as a freshman at Clemson University as a part of their club sports team. And then through that, because we didn't have an actual coach there, started helping out younger fencers as I went along through the program, and actually went to U.S. Fencing's Coaches College back in the day to kind of help transition me more into a coaching role back then, and so I fence and coach exclusively foil.
All right, excellent. And Michael, I will not hold that you went to Clemson against you. I'm a University of Georgia graduate myself. We'll just let that settle on its own. So, fantastic school. I have several friends who went to Clemson and got to go up there and visit very often and liked the experience. I'll be honest, and hopefully my Georgia Bulldog alumni friends won't get upset with me for saying that. Cool. So you both went to Budapest for this FIE Academy, and Michael, I was right. You went in 2017?
That's correct.
Okay. Sometimes the years, even though I haven't been here that long, still get kind of cluttered in my head. So, great. So, Jill, why don't you start talking a little bit about your experience, some of the things that stood out to you, and, again, the idea behind this is to give people a little bit of an idea of what this is like, and so they're well prepared for it. And then Michael will come back to you with the same question.
Okay, so the FIE program was held in Budapest, Hungary. My program was 4 months long, so and they take a maximum of 24 coaches from all over the world. Each federation can send one coach to the program, and it's all paid for by the FIE. different, federations select their coaches differently, but I applied through the U.S. fencing and got in that way. And we had actually, since it was a 4-month program, we had visa issues. So we only had 22 people that actually showed in the different weapons. So we had 5 in foil, 11 in saber, and 9 in épée. So it was a pretty interesting group.
Michael, why don't you give a little bit of overview of your experience too back in 2017?
Yeah. So my program was originally scheduled for 90 days from start to finish. That is the maximum that you are allowed to be in the EU without a visa, which I believe was the intent. But Cadet Worlds was scheduled immediately before like our program started, and there was actually a little bit of overlap where some of the like coaches were at Cadet Worlds and then came over immediately after like they were finished, which caused some issues because then there were people who were there before the program started who needed to be there through the 90 days, which I think is why they pushed the program into a place where they actually wanted everybody to have a visa ahead of time to just kind of like get that like under control. So 90 days for me.
Great. Jill, start with you just not talking of each other. Describe a day. And I know we had talked before about the level of fitness and activity that you went through, and maybe share a little bit of your experience with that.
So we had a variety of people that were selected to participate in this coaching program. Most the requirements provided by the FIE said you had to be at least 20 years old and have 7 years of coaching experience, which, was not the case for most people, but was the case for most people, but there's a few, that had just started coaching. They were competitive athletes, and then they became, wanted to get more into coaching, so they haven't had much experience. Our typical day started off, it was a hotel situation where we were staying. We had roommates, and the fencing gym was just down the hall, so we could get up, go to breakfast in the restaurant on the bottom floor, and then go upstairs and go into the fencing gym to start our practice. So it was a really easy commute. And so we start with breakfast about by 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We start the practice from 9 to 12:30, and then which included footwork, warm-up, conditioning, and then we had lunch, and then in the afternoon we had a little bit of break, 2 hours or so, and then we worked again from 3:30 to 5:30 with just our mentor coach, just to sort of go do more drills and more, one-on-one teaching with them. So we started off in the morning as the whole group to do the warm-up. And then we broke off to our individual weapons with our mentor coaches throughout the day.
Fantastic. Michael, is that similar to what you experienced?
In general, the daily progression is pretty similar. The thing that really stood out about the foil program was that the foil instructor there, Zoltan Burnett, actually runs a fencing club out of that same location. And so in the afternoons, when everybody else was like doing more training with their instructors, we would actually work with the kids that were in the fencing club that came into that group. And so that's like a little bit different than what everybody else was doing. But it was very similar as far as the schedule goes.
Okay. And Michael, I'll start with you. What about, were there classroom sessions, more pedagogy type of things that you guys got as well? I know Jill talked a little bit about that, and I'll come back to her on that end as well.
So for the first 2-3 weeks, we didn't have classroom sessions. It was a lot of more fencing specific things. But then what we would do is replace either the morning session or the afternoon session with a classroom session. Like one of those sessions would be replaced in a day. Later on in the course, when we started doing those like pedagogy and like physiology and sports psychology classes.
Okay. Yeah, that's what my next question would be, kind of what were some of those classes that you had? Maybe if you can talk a little bit more about that, and then I'll get Jill to do the same.
Yeah, so we did about 15 hours per course on like that same idea of like physiology, psychology, and then sport management, and then there's going to be like another one that I'm not going to remember off the top of my head, so we would do like about 5 3-hour like classes on each one of those topics. Some of them were like all at one time. Some of them we'd have to like do a little bit and take a break and then come back, that kind of idea. Some of them were more fencing specific than others. The sports management stuff was more about the kind of alphabet soup of all of the like national governing bodies and that stuff, which is like, it was interesting to an extent, but not super like coaching specific.
Not something you're necessarily bringing back to your club and using when you land, kind of thing.
Yeah. Right.
And Jill, what was your experience like in terms of classroom?
I I think we had less classroom time than you did. They kind of try to jam it all in 1 month. So we were basically physically working for the first 2 months pretty hard. And then we started having these classes. Like Michael was saying, you know, in the morning or the afternoon, usually 3-hour sessions. So I had like 12 hours in each subject. We only had 4 subjects, training theory, sport psychology, sport pedagogy, and sport physiology. So, and we had the professors that came in to teach were from the university. So they were very accomplished presenters. So it was really amazing information.
And this, maybe I'm going to ask a very obvious question. There was not an issue in terms of language barriers or anything like that that you guys experienced?
For me, no. It was required that everybody should be fluent in French or English.
Okay.
And all the classes were done in English for us. And even if some of the people weren't as fluent as others, you know, we sort of all studied together and helped each other through the classes.
Very good. Michael, similar experience for you?
Yeah, all of the instructors for the classes who came from the Physical Education University spoke very fluent English.
Fantastic.
And then there was a lot of translation for the the students or coaches in the class for the people who didn't speak as strong English.
Sure. Cool. Jill, when you and I spoke a while back, one of the things that I wrote down here was the conditioning, and maybe comment on what kind of, what should somebody expect in coming there in terms of the amount of workout you had to do. I think I joked that this might be a great way to get somebody really in shape and a weight loss activity as well.
Yeah, we basically learn how to teach the information, the warm up and the footwork by doing it ourselves. So we're basically training as athletes. And for the most part, most of the people in my group were between 20 and 30. So they really didn't have a problem, but I was second oldest, so I was struggling a bit. But other than that, it was a really great workout, and you just, I learned better doing hands-on things. So for me, this was great.
Sure. Michael, what about you?
I will not claim to have been in the best shape, but I was in reasonable shape going in. And I think that, the instructors for the course expected everybody to put in a reasonable effort, and reasonable effort for everybody was different, right? Like, because, you know, some of the people there were like 60 plus, and some of them are fresh off of the, you know, the senior world teams for their countries. So the, like, the physical capabilities of everybody was really different, but everybody was expected to try. And like, this was an overarching theme throughout the course. I think a lot of it was that you would get out of it what you put into it. And like, the harder you wanted to train, like, the more like was available to you.
And Michael, so on, in terms of the level of information provided, kind of maybe give your thoughts on where that fell in terms of what you felt like you were really comfortable going into and what maybe pushed your boundaries a little bit, and maybe also what you felt was, ah, come on, this is pretty basic. And I'll get Jill to kind of give the same thing. I know you each have, you know, different experiences and coming in with different levels of teaching and things, but at least give folks a feel for if you thought that, you know, this was way over somebody's head, or even that, man, this is pretty basic. We, you know, got this at the coaches' college or at, you know, coaching clinics I've been to otherwise.
So in terms of like level, there was a theory that the first third of the course was going to be focused on how to work with kids. And I think their concept of kids is like all the way through cadet fencing, which is a little bit different from the way the U.S. tends to approach like cadet and junior fencing. But they had this like, you know, first third was going to be about kids and what was important there. And the back two thirds of the course would be about, okay, these are, you know, higher level athletes or older athletes, and they're taking it more seriously. And what are we going to do with them, and what changes? So I'm a pretty big fencing nerd, and I was okay to get kind of like out in the weeds about some, like, I guess, basic concepts. So for me, I really enjoyed that everything that we did was built from the ground up, one step at a time. So there wasn't really an assumption about, well, you guys know how to do this very basic thing, right? Like, you know, like from the beginning, like, they were like, okay, this is how we're going to do on guard, and we're going to fix it. Like, you know, day one, this is what we're doing, right? So there was no real glossing over, like, tiny details on a, oh, no, like, you, of course, you know this. Like, everything was always built, like, one step at a time, where each piece was correct before we moved on to the next block. And some people who did feel like they like had a good grasp of it felt like the pace was very slow, and they didn't really like that part of it. For me, that was exactly the kind of thing that I was going to the program to get.
Cool. Well, I will always applaud nerdiness. Okay, so I get your back on that one. Jill, what about you? What was your experience and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really enjoyed sort of the start from, you know, nothing. You know, how do you take a fencer and a kid or a person and teach them how to fence from the very beginning? The coaches that we worked with were very specific in how you hold your hand, you know, the very details, how you move your body. And, you know, everything was corrected and adjusted. And for me, it was a great way to sort of see the whole program, like how you build a fencer. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it.
Very cool. I think it's interesting, too, that you both began fencing Michael, freshman in college, not particularly, you know, late in life, but certainly later than a lot of people begin fencing who start at, you know, 8, 9, or 10 years old. And Jill, you know, even later as an adult fencer. And I think that's interesting. Maybe that brings a little different outlook on how you teach that and understanding it as well with that. I guess one of the questions, I'll ask this one next. Sorry, rambling and looking over my questions here. What are some things that you wished you had known going into the academy? And Jill, we'll start with you.
I kind of interviewed Michael before I went, you know, and I had him sit down with me and I said, tell me everything you know. And Stephen Moore from the Canada, who did the Sabre program in the previous fall before I went, He told me about his experiences. So he went through the same program I did. And so I, you know, quizzed him at one of the NACs, you know, I'm like, tell me more about this. But for the most part, there was really no written material and there was no schedule. And so everything was kind of free form and they weren't very good at communication to everybody. So that was part of it that I think could have been better. But I guess I just wish they were a little more organized and in their schedule, because there were certain Hungarian holidays that they observed, but we didn't know about them. So we were sort of like at loose ends because they're like, oh, we don't have class today, you know, and it's like, oh, we could have gone like on a weekend trip or something. But for the most part, it was you know, just talking to Michael and talking to Stephen was really helpful.
All right, Michael, since you apparently were the resource for this, what, looking back on it, would have helped you maybe going a little better prepared, or some things that you would give to somebody going into it to, hey, here's a heads up on some stuff that you should be aware of?
Yeah, so I didn't have access to anybody who had been before me, and I was going into this, like, super blind. As far as the program goes itself, like, actually being there, you know, I was kind of up for whatever, so none of that really bothered me. We also had some surprise Hungarian holidays, but, like, we kind of, you know, get in stride. I guess my issues would have been with the organization before I got there, because by the time I was getting on a plane to Budapest, I still didn't have a really good idea of where I was going. And so that kind of stuff was a little, like, anxiety-inducing.
Okay.
So just, like, more of the travel details about be at this place at this time, and don't worry, we'll take care of everything else, like, would have been nice.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So a tip we'll do is that we will, when they send out our next dates, I'll go in and research the Hungarian holidays that they might get to experience ahead of time. So I'll try to remember to do that. Along those lines, Jill, you talk about the holidays, made me think of this. Was there downtime? What was, you know, what did you guys do on the weekends and things like that? It's kind of a little bit more of kind of the outside the academy part.
Right. So I think with the program I attended being 4 months, I think they were strapped from the budget was a little tighter for us. So a lot of the expenses that might have been covered previously were not with our group. They still offered, like, we had two sort of day trips to different parts of Hungary to, you know, as a sightseeing kind of thing. But we had to pay for them ourselves. You know, we rented a motor coach and, you know, just paid for our food and things ourselves for those days. But, like, and at the airport, like Michael was saying, you know, they said, oh, you have to find your own way here. You know, and luckily I kind of had a better idea of where I was going, but
well, Michael, thank you for being our Christopher Columbus on this thing. Yeah.
No. But yeah, our weekends were free, and some of our fencers, either if they live, like one of the girls in my group was Italian, and so she went home sometimes on the weekends, you know, or to tournaments, and or some of the other guys were coaching their younger students. So they would go with them to tournaments on the weekends. Otherwise, you know, we could go. I did a lot of touristy things in Budapest, and it was just amazing city to be in.
Yeah, I've never had the pleasure, but I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who's been there who hasn't raved about it. That's fantastic. So it sounds like a really cool location to have this. Michael, what about you and your experiences with that?
We also had weekends free, where we did, you know, a lot of, like, exploring the city. And it is a beautiful city. If you ever get a chance to go, you should definitely do it. And then on one of the holidays, I knew, like, we knew ahead of time that it was, like, we were going to have, like, an extended weekend. And one of my best friends, who is refereeing on the World Cup circuit, was flying back through Paris on his way back home. And then he stayed a couple of extra. And so then I went to Paris with my wife to take the long weekend to hang out in France for a little bit, so which was very cool.
Well played.
As many travel up. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Well done. Fantastic. Just as a wrap up is, and I do, my last question to you guys will be, you know, what were your takeaways? What were the things that you really felt like you got out of this? But also before that, if there's anything else you want to add that I didn't really touch on that you think would be helpful for somebody who's interested in this and who would be chosen to go. So Jill, start with you on any just random thoughts that you have along those lines.
Right. I thought the model they were teaching us, it was different than what I had learned, the Sabre. So it was a great way to, we really worked hard at learning the progression, and very detailed technical information was provided, and just lots and lots of repetition. So it was better than a coach's college experience where you only get to work a week in one weapon, you know?
Yeah.
So you really got just immersed. And being there for 4 months was great because you got to experience the country and the city and the people, which, you know, if you're just a tourist, you really don't get to see that.
Right. Yep. Very good. And Michael, we'll finish up with you.
So I feel like I was really lucky. I had an awesome roommate who was a Swedish Sabre coach. I think not everybody got along with their roommates as well as I did. And then some other like surprise stuff that happened to people, not me. One of the rooms had three women put into it, and they were not particularly large rooms. So I think they had it a little bit rougher than some of the rest of us did. Like that's the kind of thing that kind of happens like in the planning that like one should be prepared for.
So it sounds like, you know, you both got a lot out of this for sure, but also anybody going into this should be, you know, all right, flexible and understanding that, you know, communication may not be great and things may pop up at the last minute, and you got to be willing to go with the flow if you're a person who likes structure and knowing ahead of time exactly what you're doing, you may struggle.
You'll probably find this very frustrating. For
yeah.
Sure.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. But then, very good.
Cool. But the instructor for FOIL, Zoltan, he made it very clear from the beginning that he was not teaching us like the Hungarian system. He wasn't saying like this is like the way the Hungarians do it. He was teaching us his system. And
okay.
We would do everything his way. And at the end of it, the takeaway would be that we had worked like in a fencing system where we could take what we liked from it and adapt stuff that we thought should be different. But because we had like worked so extensively, like learning a system and what goes into a fencing system, that, you know, we would be able to adapt as coaches, like moving forward.
Oh, that sounds great. Jill, any last words of wisdom from you?
No, I mean, I think I would highly recommend it if you have a few months off and you could really attend this program. You really would get a lot out of it. I wish I could have practiced in some of the other weapons, but focusing on one weapon for 4 months was amazing.
Yeah, you're probably one of the few I think that probably teaches, you know, all three weapons. At least that I've run across, and I can imagine just looking over, going, "Oh, that looks pretty neat. I'd like to dabble in that a bit." And again, it makes it for a nice broad horizon for you. All right. Well, super. Well, again, thank you both. One for getting on this and sharing your expertise and your insights with folks. And I'll tell people right now, we are waiting to hear on the dates of for the next one, and then we'll announce the process for selecting a coach to go, and hopefully this helps you if you're applying for this to a little better understand what you're getting yourself into. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that the person that we select, I'm guessing that Michael and Jill would be happy to talk to you about their experiences, and you can fire questions at them as well. I just put them on the spot where they obviously cannot say no now. So sorry about that, guys.
Of course.
Not a problem.
Yeah, great. All right. Again, thank you both, and hopefully we will have information up really soon about the next FIE Budapest Academy. So thanks, Michael, and thank you very much, Jill.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, this is your host, Sam Callen. Once again, thanking you for joining us for today's podcast. Once again, if you have suggestions for topics or guests, please email me at s.callen, that's C-A-L-L-A-N, at usafencing.org. And I also want to thank Lee Rosevear. The music you hear on the intro and that I'm talking over right now is provided by Lee. He does that for podcasts for free. So if you're interested, please Google him. It's Lee, L-E-E, Rosevear, R-O-S-E-V-E-R-E. And join us for our next podcast. Thank you.